So this is step 11, and I'll give my understanding of the big book on step 11, and then I'll give my experience with it. So the big picture, the context, and that would be that this does not include any of the past fact-finding and fact-using and fact-admitting that has been done from step 3 through 10. In the past steps, that is, I gave my will to God through step 3 to 10. Now things change altogether. This step is totally different from any other step. And the reason it's so different, the reason it's totally different, is that now God gives his will to me. I don't give my will to God. God gives his will to me. And that is dependent in some ways on my doing the previous steps, especially step 10, because when I'm in step 10 and I'm no longer binging, now I can hear God's will. So I have to, and I use step 10 all day long, I have to clear away my will, and I have to clear away my defects by the power and love of God. I don't do it myself, but that enables me to hear God's will and for God to give his will to me. Now, in step 11, the spiritual awakening is complete. We were working toward it in the previous steps. Now it's complete. And I will need step 12, the next step. But the spiritual awakening is now complete in step 11. And the big book outlines clearly what the spiritual awakening is, which is accomplished at step 11. And this is page 567 and 68. It's in appendix 2 called Spiritual Experience. And it says this: with few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. So that's the deal. By the way, it says most of us think this awareness, it uses the word awareness, and step 11 talks about improving our conscious contact, and awareness and conscious or consciousness, whatever, are two words for the exact same thing. So here's what the step says: sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Well, the big book process, as I understand it, is the following. And this is all found on page 85, 86, 87, and 88. And I'm not going to cite the pages when I quote from the big book or clearly allude to it. You can check those out yourself. Anyway, the process is really fairly simple, just like the other steps are fairly simple. Starts out with a nighttime review. And this is a kind, the whole step is a kind of prayer and meditation, but this is a kind of meditation. The review has a negative and a positive, and then also a inquiry aspect to it. So the negative part of the review, which is an inventory, just like step 4 or possibly step 10, those are inventories. Anyway, here we are in inventory again, but it's at nighttime, which parenthetically I should mention, step 10 is an inventory, but it's all day long. It's as I run into difficulties. This time, it's a nighttime. Step 10 says that once we ask God to remove these defects of character. So at once is during the day. It's when it happens. But now it's at nighttime, and it's a review of the whole day. So the negative review, negative inventory, is where was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do I owe somebody an apology? Have I kept something to myself which I should have shared with somebody else? And where could I have done better? So that's the negative inventory, and I want to try to take that inventory and become aware of it, become in conscious contact with it one more time. So positive inventory, there's also a positive inventory, and it's very clear here. It says, where did I do things for others? And where did I pack things into the stream of life? Beautiful term, stream of life. Anyway, so I want to inventory that too. I want to inventory where I did good things during the day. And the final part of this nighttime review is an inquiry. It's an inquiry where I ask God's forgiveness, where I've goofed up, and ask his help. And in particular, I ask God, how could I do better? Or how could I avoid the things that I've erred in? So the do better is the positive inventory of myself, which I suggested at step 4. And the where could I avoid mistakes I've made or get better at them would be that negative inventory. So now that's the nighttime review. Now comes the next part of this step, which is, I'll call it the morning preview. This is also a kind of meditation, and it's incredibly simple. It's only one simple thing, and that is we ask God to direct our thinking all day long. We say it in the morning, God, please direct my thinking throughout this day. And when I do it, it's a little bit more than that. I look at the day that I have planned in front of me, and I ask God for each of those events to please help me to be divorced from self-pity and dishonesty and self-seeking motives. But basically, it's just this one simple thing. God, please direct my thinking all day. So that's the second aspect of the step, as it's outlined in the big book. And the third part of the step is the daytime, all through the daytime. And this is essentially a prayer rather than a meditation. It says we pause and ask for an intuitive thought when we're undecided. And uses the term the vital sixth sense. We use the vital sixth sense to be in touch with God throughout the day. And we pray only for God's will and the power to carry it out. That word only is a key word in this step. Only for God's will and the power to carry it out. So the big book talks about pausing when agitated or doubtful and asking for the right thought or actions. Reminding ourselves constantly that we're no longer running the show and humbly saying many times each day, thy will be done. And the proper use of the human will is to do God's will. So God is giving me his will and I'm using my will to do that will. That's what the deal is. Well, here's my experience with this step. For me, this is the great step. It's my great step. I call it the queen of the steps. And I work this step harder than any other step. I have a good friend in AA. He's up in Michigan and I'm down here in South Carolina, but we made friends quite some time ago. And we still talk roughly once a week over the phone. And my friend said something one time that just, to me, hit it right on the nose. And he said, God is my drug of choice. And I think I could say God is my food of choice also, to take it into the food of arena. So God is my drug of choice. And that's one thing I could say. These are comments, basically. And then I'll also outline some of my specific experience. But a second comment is that God wants to contact me far more than I want to contact God. That's my experience over and over again. And I think it's obvious to me that that's the case, because God has done such wonderful things for me. The step nine promise, God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Why does God do that? Because he's more interested in contact with me than I'm interested in contact with him. And that's saying something, too, because, frankly, I want contact with God a whole lot. That's the goal of my whole life, is contact with God. So some examples of how God wants to contact me more than vice versa: he's healed my marriage. He's healed my sexual being. He's freed me in 1,000 different ways. And he continues to reveal himself to me all the time. And that interrelationship that I have with my higher power is really incredible, but it's driven especially by God's desire to get in touch with me and not vice versa. I mean, I have that huge desire, so that fires it too. So anyway, as I mentioned, God is the goal of my life. And I've said the following many, many times. I can only say it again and again. God is crazy about me, and I'm crazy about God. God meets my father hunger and my mother hunger, the deep, deep, deep hungers in my life. And I'm not abandoned. I know when God does that. I know when I'm in contact with God that I'm not abandoned. And that comes through this vital sixth sense. And in many ways, my food, if you will, my food, that's not a bad way to put it. My food is to do God's will. And because when I do God's will, then I'm in touch with God's will. And then I'm safe and protected, as the 10th step promise says. I'm in this wonderful position of neutrality. I'm not abandoned. And I know what it's like to be abandoned, all those desperate experiences as a child, which, you know, so deeply scarred me, but which have been healed over and over again by God and continue to be healed all the time. Anyway, I don't really have goals in my life. I just let God show me what to do from one moment to the next. Now, that perhaps is an exaggeration, but by and large, I try not to have goals in my life. I just let God worry about where my life's going. Well, anyway, there are three things that I would say I have learned by practicing this step. And I should say practicing this step is a key, because I didn't know these at one time. And I've only practiced this step for about 5 years, if you want to know the truth. I mean, I sort of half-heartedly did it before 5 years, but it's been 5 years since I've practiced this step in earnest. Well, anyway, the first thing that I think I've learned that helps me a whole lot is that what God thinks, what the higher power thinks, is much more important than what I think. What God thinks is much more important than what I think. So what does God think? Well, I think there are two levels of God's will for me. The first level, and it's the absolute front burner of the way God thinks, as far as I understand it, and that is, God just wants to love me. He just wants to tell me how crazy he is about me. And he wants to hear me say the same thing back. He wants to hear me say to the higher power, I'm in love with you. I'm crazy about you. So that's the front burner way, I think, that God thinks, my higher power thinks. And the second aspect, I think, of God's will is the specific directions that God has for me to do, which is simply the next right thing in any given day. And I see myself as, I would call this tuning in. I use that vital sixth sense. That's the third aspect of this. That's, I guess you could say, my response to the way God thinks. I use the vital sixth sense to try to tune in. I think that's the word for it, tune in. I don't think of the vital sixth sense as a way of thinking at all. It's a way of tuning in, and it's a little hard to explain, but I know it works. It's an intuition. It's not really a thought. I try to think in so many words the way God thinks and not how I think. I have what I would call a scheming mind, and every once in a while I get into my schemes. And when I do, I know very well I'm not thinking the way God thinks. I'm not using my intuition. Anyway, that's the first thing that I've learned, is that what the higher power thinks is much more important than what I think. The second thing that I find really helpful is to say to myself, when I get an intuition of what God has in mind, I try to say to myself, well, that would be possible for me to do. I could do that. And frankly, it's almost normally my response when I get an intuition from God is, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. Probably I don't want to do that is even more common than I can't do that. But then I start letting it mull over in my mind, and I stop and think, and I realize, oh, well, I could do that. That's not impossible, this little intuition, or maybe a big intuition of what God has in mind. It would be possible for me to do that, and that helps me to be much more open to the intuition and what it was. So the third thing I've learned is simply to trust my intuition. Boy, that's been hard for me. That's been a real learning process. I mean, that's why I say I have learned how to practice this stuff. But little by little, I've learned to trust my intuition, and I'm much better at trusting it now than I used to be when I first started practicing this stuff. So those three things, what God thinks is much more important than what I think, and then it would actually be possible for me to do what this intuition of God's thinking is, and then finally trusting that intuition. Well, some other comments, and then I'll try to give some of my own experience. Maybe I can give you a couple examples of these three things working. Two examples, and then later I'll give a lot more examples. But the first example is one time I had a sense that God was saying to me, go take a walk in some fields. And I thought to myself, I don't want to do that. And, you know, I knew the fields God was talking about, and they had tall grass in them. I mean, the grass was probably, you know, I don't know, foot and a half tall, you know, and I was going to have to walk through this grass, and I didn't really know where these fields went and all that stuff. So anyway, I thought, well, it's possible for me to do this, and I trusted my intuition, and I started to walk through these fields, and I left a street where I knew where I was, walked into the fields, and before you know it, I'm lost. I'm just plain old lost. I've gone far enough into the fields so that I really can't see where I came from, and I have no idea where I'm going. So I start praying like crazy, God, you know, please lead me. Where should I go? And I continue walking through this grass and walking through this grass. And I must have walked through it for, maybe a half mile or so. So I was really pretty lost. And finally up ahead, I see these houses that I recognize. And I know the street they're on, and I realize, oh, yeah, I know that street. And now once I get on that street, I can walk home. I know how to get back home. It won't be the way I got to these fields, but I know perfectly well how to go there. So now I'm okay. So I cut through the side yards of these houses and get out to the street, And now what does God, now what's God's idea? I got the sense that he wanted me to turn around and go back through the fields to where I was in the beginning. And I don't know what your experience sometimes of turning around from having gotten somewhere and try to trace your way back to where you started. For me, it's oftentimes even harder than it was to find where I wanted to go in the first place. And so I'm thinking to myself, gee whiz, God, you know, this is going to be harder than even getting here. And I got lost the first time around. What's going to happen this time? But anyway, I once again decided, well, what God thinks is more important than I do, and it's possible for me to do this, and I trust my intuition. So I turned around, walked back into the fields, and start walking back, hopefully to not get so super lost this time that I'm really lost. I can't find where I was, and I can't find where I'm going either. And I keep praying like crazy, God, where should I go now? And should I go to the end of this field and then turn right, or into the next field, or should I go ahead straight ahead, or back where I was? Maybe I'm totally lost. And so I keep praying like crazy, and lo and behold, I got back to where I was. So that experience was kind of scary in some ways, but when all was said and done, it was actually fun. And I think God just wanted me to have a nice experience of walking in the fields. Well, anyway, that's one example of these three things. Another example was something that was really big for me, and that was I was out walking around a pond one day, and I had this sense from God, write a book about blood and guts prayer. That was the intuition. Write a book about blood and guts prayer. And I wrote it down on a piece of paper that I had in my pocket, and I put it back in my pocket and didn't think too much about it and tried hard not to think too much about it. Man, write a book? God, you got to be kidding me. And so anyway, as is common, I thought to myself, oh, I can't do that and I don't want to do that and all that kind of stuff. But I mulled it over again and I thought, oh, I could do this. And I started writing a book about blood and guts prayer. And writing prose is hard for me, I might add. Writing poetry is pretty easy, but writing prose is quite hard for me. So here I am writing a book. And anyway, now it's written. It's a little over 150 pages, and it's got lots and lots of my poetry, and it's a beautiful book. I love it, and it's printed, and I give it out to a lot of my friends. And it's called Oh My God, Oh My Beloved, Oh My Beloved. And I'm thrilled that it's done. I'm glad that I wrote it. And it really was God's idea in the first place. God wanted me to do it. So I'm just delighted that I've done God's will. And this was a big thing, not a little thing. But it came from that little intuition walking around this pond, this strange little intuition, write a book about blood and guts prayer. So that's how that one came about. Well, anyway, some more comments. When I practice this step, my craving for love is satisfied. And I already said I'm not abandoned. And basically, all my instincts are met. I have these tremendously deep instincts for relationships, for security, for sex. And all these things are met when I'm doing God's will. My relationship with God and vice versa, this terrific father and mother hunger that I have are met. So in this sense, God is my food. God's will is my food. Another thing is, as you know, gratitude is really big for me. And the better part of my nighttime review is gratitude. It's all those wonderful things that have happened to me during the day, and which have come to me by and large through the sixth sense, and how I have used my assets, and how also I write down some of my tenth step defects, and which is to say how I my instincts got out of whack, and then I ask God to get them on the straight and narrow again, shall we say. So that's my nighttime review, that's my nighttime review. And I guess one other thing is, and this is another comment, I feel like I'm driven much less by my defects. In other words, it's not so much my defects that drag me down. What I'm really driven by is that I'm drawn by my higher power's love and my higher power's initiative to me and my higher power's goals for me. And I won't go into this, but there is actually a scientific concept about how the universe is put together, which relates to this. And that scientific concept, I think, is the way God apparently put together the universe. And it's true for everything. Well, I'll give some examples of God's will in my life. One is that every morning God gives me what I call spiritual work to do. It comes to me early in the morning, shortly after I get up. And it comes, once again, through the sixth sense. I never know what the spiritual work is going to be from one day to another. But some examples might be God might suggest to me that I go somewhere to meditate with God, and I go physically. I'll get in my car and go somewhere. There's a specific place I always go. And another might be to write a poem, or oftentimes God, I do research on the web, and God communicates to me ideas or thoughts through research that I do on the web. And so that would be the morning spiritual work that God always gives me. That's a part of his will. Another is that I experience a lot of ecstasy. That's part of God's will for me. I experience it in meditation, and oftentimes during the day I'll get into nature, and honest to God, I sometimes slip out of where nature is just so beautiful. When I meditate, often my ecstasy is physical. I feel it as well as a spiritual ecstasy, and I may very well. I just moan. My body shudders sometimes during meditation. So those things are God's will too. Sometimes, and I already mentioned this in the walking through the fields, but I'll give another example of it. Sometimes God gives me things to do which I swear there's no way under God's earth I can do. And one of them in the last 4 or 5 months was I made a fountain for the meditation corner of my room, and I have zero carpentry skills. I mean zero carpentry skills. The best I can do is to turn a screw, you know, with a screwdriver, and I can barely do that. But God gave me the design for this fountain. It actually came from thoughts of a fountain that I saw some 40 years ago in Detroit, and so the design started to come to me. And then I went to Lowe's, and I went up to one of the employees, and I started saying, well, you know, this is sort of what I want to do, and this is sort of what I think it might want to look like. And this employee took me around. He said, well, you know, you probably need this 2x4, and you need that piece of plywood, and here's the braces you probably ought to get, and you need to get this kind of treated wood, and you can get a pump over in this other department that we have, and stuff like that. And I wrote that stuff down, and later I went and got that stuff. And I also got my grandson involved, and he knows a lot more about carpentry than I do. And we worked together on it for about 2 months, and doggone, it's done and it's made, and I use it every day. I let the fountain run all night long, and it has this kind of pretty gurgle that kind of helps me in my meditation. So that's something that I just felt like I absolutely couldn't do. God gave it to me, and I thought, well, you know, what you think is more important than what I do, and maybe I can do it, and lo and behold, I kind of stepped out and wound up doing it. Another thing that's God's will is this very step study that we have. I mean, I never expected that. And I, at the beginning, I didn't have no idea how this could be done. And, of course, I needed you all to figure out, you know, what we were going to do. So that would be another example of God's will. I guess a couple other things I just, and I kind of alluded to this, and that is that I experience God in a variety of other things. Actually, more and more I try to experience God in everything, but in music and sex and nature and people's faces, things like that. I try to imagine that God is there. And then finally, all the writing that I do, I really do a prodigious amount of writing. I've written 1,100 poems, and for those 1,100 poems, I have some 10,000 files that I've created of one kind or another that are related in some way to those poems. I've written, in my recovery, I've written about 7,000 files for this meeting all by itself, for our group. I've written, well over 200 files of things that I thought were relevant. That book I mentioned, Oh My Beloved, there are 2,000 files in that. A final thing I'd say here is that I was led by my higher power, and this is on a specific date. It's the 14th of August of 2015. I was led to dedicate the rest of my life to serving food addicts, and that's why I'm giving this talk and why I, you know, do the OA 90 program and so on. So anyway, I say all these things not to brag in any sense of the word, but simply to show hopefully what my higher power can do when I receive my higher power's will and the power to carry that out. So let me talk a little bit about my prayer and meditation, and then I'll wind up with the promises of this step, and that'll be it. So anyway, my prayer, I roll out of bed in the morning and hit my knees. The first thing that I do is I pray, and I say a very, very simple prayer. I say, God, I want to be in union with you all day today. And this prayer can take me more than 15 seconds, but it sets up my whole day. And so that's the way I start my day. That's the way I ask God to direct my thinking all day, is that I hop out of bed on my knees and say, God, I want to be in union with you throughout the day. Well, a bit on my meditation. I would say that I meditate in two different ways, and my meditation, frankly, is more determined by God than it is by me. Sometimes it's sort of one kind, which I'll describe, and sometimes it's the other, and probably more often it's two of them mixed together in some kind of way. Well, anyway, I already mentioned my friend in Michigan. He said, God is my drug of choice, and I believe that I am God's drug of choice as well. As I said, God wants to be in contact with me more even than I want to be in contact with him. So anyway, this kind of meditation is kind of a passive meditation. It's what I might call an exchange of energy in an unspecified way. It happens in silence, and I'm just in God's presence, and I'm receiving God's love, and I'm giving God's love. And in that book, Oh My Beloved, I wrote about this, and here's what I wrote. I said, when I hear love's unceasing silent purr within my heart, I know what is happening there. It is Beloved and I loving each other in silence, gazing at each other with delight. So I think that's what that kind of meditation is. And I'll call it my tank meditation. A second kind of meditation I'll call a go somewhere meditation. And this is a more active meditation. It's an exchange of energy between me and God again, but now it has a purpose. And I use my creative imagination to imagine God in everything that I see and hear and do, and oftentimes I don't I feel like God is not there. But then when I use my creative imagination, I realize, well, God is there. And so here's where I see God in nature and music and sex and in faces, things like that. Or it might be like going to the web, what I mentioned. I'll do some research. Or it might be some kind of insight. I have some poems, for example, that are based on insights rather than just talking about love and silence. So that would be what I would call the go somewhere meditation, which is the second kind I have. Well, anyway, let me talk about the results of this prayer, which is to say the promises of this prayer. And these results now are where I arrive at the personality change sufficient for recovery. Previously, I was getting toward that a personality change sufficient for recovery. Now I arrive at it. I arrive at it. I arrive at that wonderful state that is mentioned in Appendix 2. And here it is again. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. So anyway, here are the promises from this step. We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. That's the first promise. The second is we become much more efficient. We're not doing things the way we want to do things. We're doing things the way God wants to do them, and God provides all his power, and I'm much more efficient at getting stuff done. And I've been amazed at this. There are days when I get to the end of the day and I do my nighttime review and I look back on the day and I think, oh my gosh, how did I get so much done? There are many days like that, and I think, how on earth did I get so much done? I'm much more efficient. Then it says we do not tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly as when we were trying to arrange things to suit ourselves. So I don't tire so easily. And then the last one, it says we become much more disciplined. Discipline. We let God discipline us in this simple way, namely the way the step works. And that discipline in my life produces the various things that I've been able to do with God's help. And perhaps one of the biggest that I really didn't mention, and I sure should have, is that I've learned how to place others first. After myself, I'm before myself, not after myself, and that's like the dedication of my life to serving food addicts. Or it's not at all uncommon that I need to rearrange my schedule to take my grandchildren somewhere, or to take my wife somewhere, or to spend some time with my wife that I hadn't planned on, or stuff like that. And I'll do those things. I mean, not inordinately. If there's something that I really have to do and I can't do something like that, I won't do something like that. But a lot of times I just plain old rearrange my schedule and do that kind of thing. So the big book ends this step with what's perhaps the shortest sentence in the whole book, and it says, it works. It really does. And boy, that's my experience. It works. It really does. So that's what I have, and I